Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's so good to see all of you. It's good to be back with you. I want to thank Dick and Paul back in the back. Excuse me. For filling in for me last week. I took a day off and spent some time down at Lake Washita with the family. And that was a good thing. You know, I got to went out in the boat every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Went out every day. And I will tell you this, you know, I told y'all that I didn't have any plans to get in the water. That works really good until the two-year-old grandchild looks at you and says, "Come on, Deepaw." Then you go get in the water. And I will tell you this, that the water was cold. And you know, usually when you get in the water like that and you're in the water for a little while, then what happens is you get kind of acclimated to the water and it's not so cold anymore. That didn't happen. It stayed cold the whole time we were in the water. It never got warm. I'm waiting for July and August before I get in again, hopefully. But from what I understand, I'll be back in it again probably Friday or Saturday this week. So that's how that works. So I want to thank you all for being there for me and filling in for me while I was gone. I sure appreciate it. And y'all did a great job from everything I understand and hear. We've got some people back with us that have been gone for a while due to illness, and I'm sure glad to see y'all back. Randy and Matt, I'm glad to see you. Randy Kennedy sitting right back there. I sure am glad to see him back. And so anyway, I'm very glad to be here with you. I want to talk to you about making decisions today. And I want to tell you that last Tuesday night, I made a decision. Last Tuesday night, I made a decision. I made a decision to go play pickleball. How many of y'all played pickleball? Yeah, I want you to know something. It's fun. I had a great time. There were six of us out there. I had a great time. My old college roommate that I roomed with for 3 years and went to high school with and everything, he was there and we played against each other. And I want you to know, when you're playing against your college roommate, things get competitive. Really competitive. And so we played. And we played for 2 hours. Now I want you to know something. I'm not used to running around for 2 hours. I'm not used to running around for 2 minutes. Usually the run that I do is from the couch to the refrigerator and back to the couch. That's usually my run. But I want you to know that we were very competitive with one another, and we were up on the line and we were hitting the ball back and forth and everything, and we were real competitive, and he hit one over my head and I went back to get it. And at 62 years old, which that's how old I am, it's not a good idea to dive for a ball. But I did. I made the conscious decision to dive for a ball. And I fell on the ground and rolled around up against the fence and everything. And people from other courts are coming over. "Are you all right? Are you all right?" "Yeah, I'm okay. But then I needed help getting up." That was the key. Okay? But then once I'm up, I'm back and I said, "All right, let's go." And it was great. We had great fun until the next morning, and I hurt. And then the second morning was worse than the first. I couldn't walk the next day. Y'all ever get that way?
Amen.
I've done it. And you know what? I'm old enough to know better. And my sister was playing, who is 3 years older than I am, and she was playing, and she looked at me and she said, "That's why we don't dive after the ball." Yeah. Well, I'm getting that. I'm figuring that out. But I figured it out so well that I'm going to play again tomorrow. So that's how I figured it out so well. But anyway, it was a conscious decision to go out and play. It was a conscious decision to do those things. And I knew, and I made the comment, that I was going to hurt the next day. And I did hurt the next day. But I still did it. And you know what? I'm making the conscious decision to play again tomorrow. Which means that Tuesday, I will hurt again. And I know that. But that's okay. That's okay. Because I enjoyed doing it. It was fun. We were competitive with one another. We had a great time. And nobody was seriously injured. Notice how I said that, seriously injured. Okay? Well, today, I want to talk to you about these verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. These are one of my favorite verses. It says this, the conclusion, everything wrapped up together is this. When everything has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, everything which is good or evil. Now this is the conclusion for everything. And I want you to know from the very beginning of this lesson that I'm going to give you today is this. It is our choice. It is our choice. You cannot blame it on anyone else. You cannot blame it on anything else. Y'all remember Flip Wilson? If you're old enough to remember Flip Wilson, you're about my age. Okay? But remember Flip Wilson. He'd dress up in his girl outfit. I don't remember what was she called. Geraldine. There you are, Geraldine. She'd dress up like Geraldine, and they'd ask him, say, "Why'd you do that?" And she'd say, "The devil made me do it." Y'all remember that? No, folks, that's not how that works. Because I'm going to tell you right now that the devil doesn't make you do it. Y'all realize that? The devil doesn't make you do it. Because with every temptation, we are given a way out. And this is the example that I like to give. The temptation is here, the way out is here, and you are in the middle. You get to choose which side to go. Adam and Eve in the garden had the tree that was forbidden. But they also had the tree of eternal life. They could choose between the tree of knowledge of good and evil or the tree of eternal life. They were in the middle. And if you remember correctly, Adam was real quick on trying to blame someone else. Because when God asked him, "Did you eat of that tree?" Remember what his response is? He said, "That woman that you gave me." So he blamed the woman and he blamed God. But the fact of the matter is, he had the choice. Then Eve tried to blame Satan. It was Satan. It was that snake. But remember, Eve had the choice. The choice is always yours. You cannot blame someone else. And the reason why I'm giving you this lesson today is because I heard again this week, I've heard it many times, and y'all have heard me say it before, that people sometimes will say these words. God is such a loving God. God is such a forgiving God. He will never send anyone to hell. And my response is, yes, you're right. God doesn't send you to hell. You make the choice. You can choose heaven or you can choose hell. That's the choice. That's the conclusion of all things, that we have that ability to choose. And that is one thing that God will never stand in the way of you making your choice. He gives you that choice. But realize it is always you that makes it. I had a person one time that told me, he said, I don't believe in God. And I said, well, why don't you believe in God? He said, because my father was an alcoholic. And he was abusive to me. And I prayed to God for years and years and years that he'd make him stop drinking. The problem with that is this. It was that person's choice to continue to do those things. It was always his choice. Now, did that affect that young man? Yes, it did. Did it affect others around him? Yes, it did. And I want you to know the choices that you make today will affect people around you. Either good or evil. One of the two. So the choices that you make every day will affect those around you. And I want you to know that you've made choices already this morning. You made choices to come here. Didn't you? You made the choice to be here today. And I am thankful that you made that choice. And because you made that choice, guess what? You have affected me personally. Because by you being here, you lift me up. Do you realize that? Every day you lift me up. If no one was here today, there would be no reason for me to be here. Realize, by your presence, you lift me up personally. But not just me personally. Everybody sitting around you is lifted up by your presence. There are several individuals that are here today that are visiting with us today. And I want you to know, your visiting here today has lifted up this congregation. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you so much. And I hope that if you're traveling through, that the next time you're traveling through, you're going to stop and be with us again. But I also hope this, that if you're not traveling through, that if you moved into our community, and I know of a couple of people that have, that if you move into our community, I want you to become part of this congregation. Because again, you lift us up. And I thank you for it. Each and every day that you are here with us, you are lifting us up. And I want you to know that each and every day, because you do that, you are making a decision. Now today I want to talk to you about decisions that you make that affect your entire life and even your eternity. Let's start with the first one. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says this. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Now when it says you and your household, look at the influence that you have on the people around you. That's kind of what I was talking about just a minute ago. But notice what it starts out and tells us. Believe in Jesus Christ. You realize that's a choice? That's a choice you make. I will choose to believe or I will choose not to believe. That is a choice that I make, that I choose to believe. And no one can take me away from there. Because I believe in such a manner that you can come to me and you can tell me that God doesn't exist or Christ doesn't exist, and I will look at you and I will say, you don't know what you're talking about. Because you don't. God is the creator of all things. Jesus Christ paid my debt for sin. I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I am not afraid to tell everyone that I believe in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we should all be in that same boat. Strong in our faith. Immovable. That God and Christ exists. And they want me to be with them. So the first thing I want you to see is this. That you make the choice as to whether or not you believe. And that belief choice changes your entire life. Secondly, you choose in Psalms 111, verse 10. You choose as to whether or not you're going to fear the Lord. Now, I've told you before this bit of information. I do no longer fear the punishment of God. You know why? Because I've been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I don't fear that. I know where I'm going when I leave this earth. I know the direction I'm headed. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't get concerned when I do something wrong. Because I also know that God is like my father was. Now, God doesn't have a belt like my father did. And when he'd pull it out from his pants, it'd go pop, 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 pop around his belt loops. Y'all ever have that? That's when I knew it was time to run. But my father was faster than I was. And he always caught me. Now, God does, however, discipline his children. And I understand that. But I do not fear eternal punishment. And the reason why I don't fear eternal punishment is because Christ paid my debt. I have a place in heaven. And I know that. But the fear of God brings about, it says in Psalms 111, verse 10, it brings about what? Wisdom. It's just exactly the fear of your parents brought about wisdom. The fear of punishment brings about wisdom. It brings us to the point of understanding that if we don't have God, then we are lost in our sins and we are doomed to eternal punishment. That's the fear of God that brings about wisdom. And so therefore, in order for me not to have eternal punishment, I must do something about it. And that's where it comes to the next part. Keeping His commandments. Doing what God tells us to do. And I've told you this before, I don't do what God tells me to do because I fear punishment. I do what God tells me to do at this point in my life because I love God and want to do what He wants me to do. It's the same way with you and your parents. And I've given you this example before. When my mother was in her 90s, I was not afraid of her punishment. But if she called me and asked me to do something, I would be there. I would be there. Even though my mother would point her finger at me and she said, "You're not too big, I can't whip you." I want you to realize that we do it not because we fear, but because we love. Perfect love removes all fear. So therefore, we keep God's commandments because we love God. To fear God and keep His commandments is what we need to do. Realizing that the perfect love removes fear of punishment, but it also puts us in a position to where We want to do what God wants us to do. It's because of love. Now, this brings us to the next point. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says this. We need to repent. I've had people who were baptized, who came down and were baptized, and then I never saw them again. They went back to their old ways. They went back and did the same thing that they were doing before. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it tells us to do what? First, repent, then be baptized. To repent means turning away. To repent means seeking not to do those things again. That's what repentance is. But if we come up here to be baptized and we go back to our old life, then in Galatians, Paul tells us that you have made Christ's blood of no effect. In other words, all you did was get wet. That's all you did. And there are people that I know, that's all they did. Because they still do the same things that they were doing before. Now, we need to make the decision that we're going to repent, that we're going to turn away from, that we're not going to do those things anymore. That was my old self, not my new self. That was how I was, not how I am. Do you know people like that? One of the greatest examples that I have of people that I knew in college, that they acted one way when they were in college. And you got to realize that, you know, one of my college degrees, can't remember, came from the largest party school in the nation. That's the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville. Yeah, go Hogs. Okay. And I can tell you this, in making that statement, that a lot of my friends did a lot of bad things while they were there. But I can also tell you this, that when you see when they repent and they are no longer that way, and they are truly walking, in, as it says in Romans chapter 6, in the newness of life, what an example they are. Great example for all of us to follow, for all of us to understand. They don't do those things anymore. And the people that used to do those things with them are shocked in the change. Good. They need to be. They need to be different. To repent means to change. To repent means to turn away from. To repent means not to do those things that you had done before. And it is a life-changing decision. I will not do those things that I've done before. Next is this. In Acts 22:16 tells us this. Be baptized. Folks, I don't know how many times I've told you this. I don't know how many times I will tell you this. But I will tell you it over and over and over again, because too many people are saying you don't have to do this. Wrong. Baptism is a requirement for salvation. Read John 3:5. Unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Read 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism now saves you. Folks, baptism is a requirement, just like repentance is a requirement, just like belief is a requirement. These are requirements for salvation, and if you don't do it, you will not be saved. I don't know how much plainer I can get. But you will hear me multiple times saying it, and if I'm 120 years old and I'm still preaching here, you're going to hear me say it then too. It is important. It is essential. And it is a life-changing experience, not only for this life, but for an eternity. Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. Now, I want to bring up two more points. And in those two more points, I want to talk to you about these two because they are life-changing decisions. And with those decisions that you are making, can determine or help determine where you spend eternity. First one is this. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Choose your friends wisely. Our young people need to hear this. Choose your friends wisely. And this also goes into the point of choose your spouse wisely. Because my wife is, without a doubt, my best friend. She knows more about me than any of y'all. Please don't ask her. She is by far my best friend. She's the one I talk to. She's the one I confide in. She helps me. And I want you to know that because your friends that you choose can do the same thing for you. Or they can hinder you. Remember I talked about those friends in college? Who liked to drink? Who oftentimes would smoke that little funny thing? Realize that when they're trying to get you to do those things, they are not your friends. They are turning you away from God. They are turning you away from others. They are helping Satan. Choose your friends wisely. And I've been very fortunate about that because I do have a tendency to choose my friends very wisely. And there are some that I do not associate with anymore because they still want to do those things. I just really don't have anything to do with them. They are not my friend. Choose your spouses in the same manner. Someone who can help you along the way. Someone who can help you to be a better Christian. And then lastly, I want you to see this one. Choose who you associate with wisely. You know why it says don't abandon the coming together? Don't abandon your assembling? It's because, as I started out with this morning, you bring me up. You help me. I hope I can help you. We can lift each other up. We can help each other in our walk with God each and every day. And you know what? It doesn't bother me, not near a bit. If you see me do something wrong and you come to me and say, Steve, I saw you do something wrong, you don't need to be doing that. I'm actually going to be grateful. And I want you to know there are times that I may see you do something wrong, and if I come up to you and I say, hey, you know, I saw you do something wrong, you don't need to be doing those things. You too should be grateful, because we are looking out for one another. We are trying to help each other along the way. There's a reason why we come together, that we assemble together. And the reason why is because we can help one another. There's a reason why Jesus sent out his disciples by twos. Because they could help each other. Folks, the people you surround yourself with tells us what kind of person you are. Surround yourself with good Christian people. Last week, I was able to go and visit the congregation where I preached for 8 years. And I got to see some of these old friends of mine, and they were all glad to see me, and I was glad to see them, and Kathy was there, and we were all glad to see each other. And my son showed up, and he brought his family, and everybody was tickled to death to see everybody. And they asked me to lead the opening prayer. And I thanked God that we have brothers and sisters throughout the entire world. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I was excited to see my brothers and sisters. And they were excited to see us. These are things that we need to focus our attention on. But realize this, that it is always our decision. And our decision is whether or not we are going to serve God. Whether or not you are going to do good for one another. Whether or not you are going to do good for God. This is our decision. This is our hope. That we will always choose the right direction. And so therefore, my comment to you today is this. Choose who you will serve. Choose what you shall do. Choose where you shall be. Choose in your life whether to go to heaven or to go to hell. It is your choice. If you have a need this morning to make the decision to be part of the body of Jesus Christ, to make a decision to be part of the kingdom of God, we want to give you that opportunity to come today. Come and be baptized. Come calling upon the name of the Lord. Be part of His kingdom. And you can do it while together we stand and sing.